please go ahead.
Feel before you start. These are for you, actually. Whenever you get a chance.
Okay.
My name is Terry, and I'm here on behalf of U of M's English Language Institute. So you guys might know about that place, you might not, but it's over there on that side of campus. We're here today to record your class as part of a research project to collect a corpus of academic spoken English. We've gotten consent from your teacher. I might need consent later from a couple of you if I decide to record your group, but it's no big deal. I'll just give you a form. It explains about our project and what we're going to do with the data, and then you sign it. At the end of the recording, we might ask you to fill out some demographic data in the sheet with your age group and stuff, but no identifying information for anybody will go into anything that we keep forever, so don't worry. We change names, there's nothing that you need to worry about. There are also varying levels of consent that you can specify, so if you are worried, it's okay. Aside from that, you can always let us know afterwards if there are parts of your speech you'd rather not have included. And I don't know, since all of you are interested in statistics, maybe this project will be interesting to you because we use it for statistical research. Are there any questions? Thanks a lot.
Sure. Like I said, I don't know if the word interested is probably the best word to use. But.
Forced, maybe. Required, okay. Who's your quiz for this week? You got a quiz this Thursday, I believe, right? Homework's due on Wednesday, quiz due Thursday. All kinds of fun stuff. End of the semester, 3 weeks left.
I mean, it'll be easy for me to borrow it then because we're already setting up a day.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay, you guys ready to go over this bad boy?
That's good.
It's worse. I don't even know what's there. Okay. So it's probably the June gets an A, so that 100 is 0.45. So probably either. Probably that May. I couldn't think of any names. So I'm like, oh, I'll just use one. April is going to be next, but I didn't have any other name I could use. 8.5, probably both May and June. Getting an A is 0.35. Okay. So now what's the probability that either May or June? So we're looking for probability of them. Now we know that we have this awesome addition formula, which is probability of A or B, probability of A plus probability of B, probability of A. Okay, so this is on your formula sheet. You know all this. This is review for you, hopefully. So this is the formula we can use to solve this. So we have, we're given this, this, and this. We want to find that. So we're given probability of A, probability of B, probability of A and B, and we want to find probability of A or B. We just plug and chug into the equation. Okay? So the probability of A is 0.45, probability of B is 0.85. And the add them up and subtract is 0.95. So the probability of A or B, or the probability of May or June, is 0.95. And that's that answer. You can also do this with a Venn diagram. Either way is fine. If you see things easier, probably it's best to draw a Venn diagram. But I can see things performing easier, so I don't use the Venn diagram. Are the events June gets an A in stat 100 and May gets an A in stat 100 independent? Well, now how would we calculate if things are independent? We know there's the independence formula. So, if this happens, we know they're independent. If the probability of A times the probability of B is equal to the probability of A and B, then they're independent. Okay. In either way, if they're independent, then this is true. And if this is true, then they're independent. It's a tautology. There's a nice English word for you. Okay. Are the events independent? Okay. So, probability of A is 0.45. Probability of B is 0.85. Are they equal to the probability of A and B? Well, the probability of A and B is 0.35. So now, if these two multiplied together is equal to 0.35, then they're independent.
Right, this right. 0.3825.
So the answer is 0.3825 is not equal to 0.35. Therefore, they're not independent. So they're not independent. Okay. Now you may think, wow, why shouldn't they should be independent? They're two separate students in the class, but I don't know. You can always don't use logic when you solve stats problems, just use numbers. Numbers work better than logic. Are the events June gets an A in stat 100 and May gets an A in stat 100 disjoint? Are they? They're not. They have 35% chance that will happen, so they're not disjoint. If there was no events in common, if there was no chance of that happening, then they would be disjoint. But since we have a chance of that happening, they're not disjoint. What is the probability that neither May or June gets an A in stat 100. Okay? So the probability. That's the probability that neither M or J is equal to minus the probability that M or J gets it. Right? So minus 0.5. So there's only a 5% chance that neither will get an A. Okay. Question 2.
What does that do?
Mm-hmm.
The probability of
neither may.
Neither.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't write very well. Any questions to number 1? Let's move on to question number 2. X is distributed U37.
What does that mean? Again, three, lower bound, upper bound. I think almost everyone did really well on the quiz, the exam for this question for drawing this, so that's good. And we want to find the height, but we always label it density. It's 1 over the max minus the min, 1 over 7 minus 3, it's 1 out of 4. Okay, so we've drawn this. Find the probability that x is greater than 4. Well, there's 4. We want that probability. Remember, probability is the same as area when you do uniform. And area is equal to height times width. Okay. It's equal to 1/4, because that's the height, times the width is 7 minus 3, which is 3, so 3/4. So that's the probability. X is greater than 4. And we want to find the probability, so we want this now. Probability x is greater than 4. Okay. Now this slash, I didn't write it in words, but that means given. So we want to find the probability that x is greater than 4, given that x is less than 6. Another rule, another awesome formula you must know. Probability of A given B is equal to the probability A and B divided by probability of P. Okay? Another formula you must know. So, I don't know. I happen to write three of the really important formulas that you must know for your quiz on Thursday and for your exam in a couple weeks. So, know this stuff. That's good. So then we can rewrite this statement from here to be something like that. So it's going to be equal to the probability that x is greater than 4 and x is less than 6 divided by the probability that x is less than 6. Now when we want to find the probability that x is greater than 4 plus 6, that is the probability x is between 4 and 6, right? Does everyone see that? We're greater than 4 and we're less than 6. So that's the area we're looking for. Okay. So that's what that's equal to. And it's again divided by the probability that x is less than 6. So this probability, again, area of a rectangle, the base times the height. The base here is 6 minus 4 is 2 times 1/4, so it's 2 over 4. And the denominator is x less than 6. Base times height again, 6 minus 3 is 3. Height is still 1/4, we have 4. And that's 2/3. So this probability is equal to 2/3. So the probability that x is greater than 4 given x is less than 6 is 2/3, as well as the probability that x is greater than 4 is 3/4. Are these two independent? Well, another rule. See, this rule, we can also rewrite that as saying probability of A given B. So if the probability of A given B is equal to the probability of A, then they're independent as well. It's the same. It's actually the same statement as this one here, just rewritten in a different way. Okay. So, and we actually have done all this work already. So the probability of x is greater than 4, given that x is less than 6, that's this guy, it's 2/3. Is that equal to probability of that x is less than 4, x is greater than 4, 3/4? It's not equal to, so they're not independent. And this is just some of the stuff from chapter 8 that you must know. Okay. Today's lab, did everyone know the game show Monty Hall? That's not Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. Everyone know that game show? Anyone know that game show? I used to love that game show. So we're doing a lab based on game show. So everyone needs to get with another person. We're going to have lab in groups today, so get with it. One more person so we can have groups of two and have all kinds of cool fun. Thank you.
Oh, this is my philosophy.
Oh, really?
Hey,
here's the shooters.
You get the group work someone out. You get a group of three.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We can read the sled. There are three doors. Behind one door is a car. Behind the other two doors is a goat.
Yes.
As a contestant, you are asked to select a door with the idea that you will receive a prize behind the door. The game show host, you know, Monty Hall, knows what is behind each door. After you select the door, the host opens one of the remaining doors that has a goat behind it. Note that no matter what door you select, at least one of the remaining doors will have a goat behind it for the host to open. Now I'll explain, just to be certain you guys see that.
Right.
Okay. So, there's three doors. One has a goat, one has a goat, and one has a cow. There's three doors, again. So now, I can't draw the draw what it's going to be. Door one, door two, door three. Okay. If let's say you select door one, the game show host is going to show you door two that has a goat behind it. Okay, does everyone see that? If you select door two, the game show host is going to show you door one, which has a goat behind it. And if you select door three, the game show host will show you either door one or door two, which has a goat behind it. So either way, you're going to see a door with a goat behind it. Okay. So that is really the thing to see. Does everyone see that? So no matter what door you pick, you're going to see a door with a goat behind it. For example, I have three cards here. As you see, there's two red cards and one black card. This is a car. These are goats. They're not really goats, but pretend. Okay? So, I'm mixing the cards up. Okay? Select a door. One, two, or three?
Two.
You select door two. I'm going to show you this door right here, which has a goat. So I can show you a goat all the time. Okay? No. It doesn't matter again. I can show you one more time. If you select this door, right initially, I'm going to show you one of these two doors, which has a goat behind it. If you select this door, I'm going to show you this door, which has a goat behind it. And if you select this door, I'm going to show you this door, which has a goat behind it. So either way, you're going to see a goat. Okay, that's the key. Now the big question is, knowing that, knowing Monty Hall always, you know, gives you the option, he always shows you the one door, and he asks you, do you want to stay, or do you want to switch? Okay? Now that's the big question. That's what we're going to investigate, whether it's better to stay or better to switch. Now how many think that it doesn't really matter? That you get no, there's no real difference if you stay or you switch. Okay, we got a couple. Good. People are alive today. How many thinks it really does make a difference? That one gives you a greater probability than the other. Which one gives you a greater one, do you think?
If you switch.
You think switch? Why? You don't
know. I don't know.
We're gonna take a look at it. We're gonna investigate. It's kind of interesting if you read an article on the web that we'll talk about that later. Okay. It says, no matter what door you select, at least one of the doors will have a goat behind it. The host then gives you the option. Stay with the door you originally chose and get the prize behind it, or switch and get the prize behind that. And what is the probability of winning if you stay? Well, I think we can almost guess that one, but we'll get onto that later. What is the probability of winning when you switch? Does switching increase your chance of winning? Does your neighbor agree with you? If the answer is not clear, we can carry out a simulation, which is what we're going to do. So each group, that's why I had you in groups of two, is going to get a set of three cards. Go ahead and help right now. Again, you're going to get two red cards and one black card. They're kind of big, too, so let's see. And again, the two red cards are your goats, and the one black card is your car. So we're going to carry out a simulation and see which is better to switch, which is better to stay. Groups we have today? One, two, three. Nine. Okay, so we have nine groups.
So we're 2 times the start and 5 times the switch.
Working with, here's one way to simulate the game show, which is the way we're going to do it. Working with a partner, designate one person to be the game show host. So one person will be Monty Hall, and the other person will be the person who's going to be the contestant. If you remember the game show, they always had everyone dress up as, you know, oranges or bananas or tomatoes or something like that. If you remember the game show. I love that game show, so I remember that. They always had people in costumes. Just need one person to be the game show host, the other to be the contestant. You can switch roles halfway through the simulation. The game show host controls the three doors represented by the three index cards, playing cards in this case. And what's going to happen is the contestant will select the door. Just from experience, it's best to just point to a door rather than say one, two, or three, because is this one, you know, just say, I select this door, okay, when you're contesting. I select this door. And then the game show host is going to show you a door with a goat behind it. Again, I showed you before, you can always find a door with a goat behind it. Show them one of the doors they did not select that has a goat behind it, okay? So you would show them this door if they select this door, okay? And then the person will either switch, or the person will stay. And we're going to tally and see how many times we're going to win. Okay. This is the host's fault. You can either lay him down like this, like, you know, do it like three card Monty, you know that, but they're not bad, so you really can't do it. So it's probably easier just to, you know, hold them like this and have someone select. Okay? And keep a record list of your results, either staying or switching, either winning a car or winning a goat. Once you perform many repetitions, you can use the relative frequencies to estimate the corresponding probabilities. So you turn the page over and see we have strategy win, strategy stay. And we're going to do this 20 times each. So each group will do it 20 times. And we're not going to randomly select people with either, you know, you're going to switch half the time, stay half the time. What it's going to do is you guys are going to stay, and then switch. Does everyone know who they're staying?
Stay, switch.
Okay? So you're going to do this 20 times. Okay? And again, we can practice one more time. So if you're staying, okay, select a door. Okay, so I'm going to show you this
you
one.
10.
Sure.
You're staying, so you would have won. Okay, so you would have won. So, and we'll practice one. You're switching. Okay.
Okay.
Pick a door.
Two.
Point.
Two. Sorry.
Okay. I'm going to show you this one. And switch. And you would have won too. So look, we've got two winners in a row. And now we're just going to do this. Each group's going to do it 20 times. You're staying or switching. People are starting already. I'll be walking around and sending questions. Ready, set, go.
And then switch. You win.
If you pick the black one,
so you have a greater chance of picking the red one first.
Yeah.
You pick the card, and then I show you one of them, and then you get the embassy card that you picked.
Right. He switches to a lock.
Pretty good. You should have had that one.
The middle one.
Yeah. That one.
Yeah, because you do have a greater chance of getting to go.
That one.
The middle one, I'm sorry.
Switch. that one. But when you switch, so you lose.
Did you?
You got like two or three, I think. I think you only got, you get three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, because I put that one there when we did that.
All right, so three.
And you had all two.
I had all wins. So. Seven.
Yes.
I mean, 17 out of 20 wins. Oh, that's with switching. We're down here. It's really weird because in my, like, I took in like the philosophy class in high school, but the philosophy class, like I said, like each one has like the same chance. Like even if you switch to these two, it's still a.
Oh really? So
they're like saying it's a lot. Like that each of these is still a 2/3, 1 1/3 chance of being the car.
Yeah.
So that like it shouldn't change no matter what.
It doesn't matter.
But it
does.
But when you think about it, you have a better chance of being the
car.
Exactly. If I pick the black,
so then you have a better chance if you switch it.
Yeah.
But they're saying like logic, like statistically, but like
about it.
I think like mathematicians and statisticians have like an argument.
Oh,
I don't know.
Well, we got to keep the integrity.
Oh, adaptable.
This weather is horrible. This weather.
No, it's supposed to be summer.
You show them one more bag.
One more bag?
Yeah. Show me your
right. You're staying here both for what's going on?
No,
it's
just
regular
girls.
Not
bad, don't you?
I think
it's a better
way
to Traverse City.
Okay, that's it. Okay, since I picked the black one.
Okay, let's tally our results and see empirically what the answer should be. Okay, so groups that stay, how many did you guys get? Anne-Marie, how many did you get?
Eight.
Five, six.
Go.
12, or to stay, right?
Yes.
One, two, 11.
Guys in the back. Switch over to door three, but you're going to lose. You can't get a go, so you lose. If you pick door two initially, pick door two, Monty Hall's going to show you door three, okay, because that's a losing one. And you're going to switch over back to door one, so you're going to switch over to a win. And if you pick door three, Monty Hall's going to show you door two, which is a loss, but you're going to switch over to be a win. So the actual probabilities, you're going to win two-thirds of the time if you switch, you're going to win one-third of the time if you stay. That's the actual probabilities. Empirically, we can see we're pretty close here. 0.65 is really close to two-thirds. 0.475, again, it's kind of big. We have one-third that would be really big, so that's why I think that happened to be a little bit higher than it did. If we did more repetitions, obviously we only did 80 repetitions. If we did, 2,000-3,000, we get numbers really close to one-third and two-thirds. Okay? So basically, does everyone see why it pays to switch? Okay. So if you're ever on the game show, you know you should always switch. Basically, the only way you win if you stay is if you happen to guess correctly initially, get the car right away. If you're switching, the only way you lose is if you guess correctly right away. So it's kind of a weird way that works. So when you switch, when your strategy is switching, you really want to guess the wrong door initially. Then you're going to win if you switch. So, and the thing is, there's a greater chance picking the wrong door and picking the right door initially, so that's why it's always better to have switching rather than staying. Let's see. What else do we have here? Number of wins using this. What is your estimated probability of this? Compare that class. What strategy are you going to do best? Again, switching is best just because we can show empirically it's better, and we can show actually it's better. Now, if you go on the web page, the staff member web page under, I think, other information, maybe, I think it's there, they have on there an actual article by statisticians and mathematicians arguing this exact problem. I mean, they have nothing to do in their free time rather than arguing this particular problem, but you get really, you know, well-known statisticians actually arguing that it's better to stay rather than switch. And we can show right here, you know, within, you know, half an hour that it's better to switch. Even just doing it empirically, it's better to switch than it is to stay. You can show it actually fairly easily as well. So, that's what we kind of got. Any questions in the lab? Any questions? Let's do a homework problem. Someone pick a homework problem. We'll do one. Yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves. Take a problem. I did it at least once a semester. Just feel like this. Back in my day, I was. Yeah. I was known as.
White chocolate.
Vanilla Dice. Because my last name is Dyson. Pick a problem, Sam. Problem. Anyone?
830.
830? 30. Thank you. What page is that on? 394. 394.
Are we supposed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a sign?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Word.
So it says, suppose the time for an operator to place a long-distance call is normally distributed with a mean of 20 seconds and a standard deviation of 5 seconds. So we're going to call that variable, my favorite letter, x. Distributed normally, the mean of 20 minutes and standard deviation of 5. So again, write it as 5 squared, make our lives so much easier. What is the probability that a long-distance call will go through in less than 10 seconds? Well, we know the distribution of x, right? Normal. 1e. So this is x. It doesn't really look like this. It's really a straight line. Just because I can't draw straight. Okay? So we want to find the probability. It'll go through in less than 10 seconds. So there's time. You want to find this area. Correct? Does everyone see that? So again, we just use normal CDF, right? Normal CDF. Lower bound is negative infinity. Upper bound is 10. The mean is 20. The deviation is 5. We get 9.0228. Okay. What is the probability that it'll take longer than 32 seconds for a long distance phone call to go through? Okay. There's 32. Okay. Again, it's the same thing. Almost CDF. The lower bound in this case, though, is 32. The upper bound is positive infinity. Mean is still 20, stimulation is still 5. And we get 0.0082. Okay. What else you guys got? Give me your best shot. I'm not sure. Graph?
Reading graphs and stuff.
Oh, you mean like reading,
let's see. Probably maybe like a 9.92 or something.
You have a page number maybe on that?
It's 434. Or big exercise, 9.2. 9.2.
Okay. To estimate the parameter theta from a given population, three different estimators were proposed. The graphs are the sampling distributions of the three estimators shown at the right. Note that all three graphs have the same scale. Which estimators are unbiased? Now, unbiased means that, what is the definition? I always like saying more often than 9.2 the right answer, but.
You're doing 9.2?
Yeah, 9.2. Okay. I don't want to give you guys the wrong answer. Wrong definition of bias. Unbiased. A statistic is unbiased if the center of the sampling distribution is equal to the corresponding population parameter value. That's the book definition. Like I say, more often than not, you're going to get the right answer. That's what my definition of unbiased is. Know the book one, though, practically. I practically will use the one that I know, but book one's more important to know. Estimator one. As you see, the centered right on the parameter, so that is unbiased. Estimator two, more often than not, we're going to get the right answer. That's also unbiased. Estimator three, as you can see, the center is not even close to theta. Well, it's like a unit or two away. So that is biased. Estimator three is biased, one and two are not biased. Of estimators one and two, which would you select and why? Well, we know they're both unbiased. So now we want to probably take the one with less variability. That's always the two key things we want in an estimator. We want it to be unbiased and low variability. That's the two key things in an estimator to have. Now again, we measure variability, this is the standard deviation of variance, by how far away all the estimates are away from the mean. So how far away is everything away from the mean? Now in this case, as we see, for estimator one, which looks like a normal curve, and estimator two looks like. Which one has more values closer to the mean? Right. Which has less variability? This guy does. Because here, we have these guys spread far apart from the mean, and here we have a lot centered clustered right around the mean. So estimator one has less variability. Therefore, it would probably be the one you would select, because it has less variability. Part C, which estimator has the smallest variability? And that's the one where it's tightly clustered around its mean. Okay. So in this case, estimator three, as you can see, the values, even though it's not on target, it's tightly clustered around where it is on target four. So that estimator has the lowest variability.
Is it C? Yeah.
Estimator three has the lowest overall variability, even though it might not be on target. Totally on target. Based on the sampling distributions, which estimator is the best estimator of theta? Now, and again, we want an unbiased estimator and we want low variability. So if you be really concerned about low variability, we'd probably pick estimator 3, even though it's a little bit biased. But if we want unbiasedness, we'd probably pick estimator 1, because it's on target, it's unbiased, although it has high variability. So that's kind of like a toss-up question. Which do you think is more important, have low variability or have unbiasedness? Okay. So you can answer that question any particular way you choose, as long as you make a good rational argument. Okay. You guys have class now. Wednesday for your quiz. Want you to turn your quizzes in to me so that I know you were here today.